none hurts more to me. I mean, I don't know about more disappointing than last year. Last year, I felt like we gave that game away. It's disappointing when you lose any time. Nobody wants to lose. It's not why you work 80 hours a week and the kids bust their ass and practice and do all the stuff. I promise you, nobody in that locker room is not disappointed.
Well, that was post game right there. Very interesting comments there from head coach Paul Johnson. He didn't sound too happy, and rightfully so. I think there were a lot of people after yesterday who were probably pretty upset on the Georgia Tech side. But if you're a Miami fan right now, you know, as they always say, the U is back, baby. The U is back.
And they're absolutely back.
And of course, I hear Andrew Brown, and I'm joined by
Will Patton.
And this is the 4th and Short podcast at 4thandshort.com. And we are here to proclaim that the U is back.
Yeah, I think we can make it semi-official that the U is back.
You know, here's the thing. Al Golden has done a great job of kind of changing the culture of Miami and weathering the storm. You know,
yeah.
There weren't many people who would be able to do what he has done in the last 3 years.
Well, I'm really surprised that he stuck around, because he got there right as the scandal stuff was starting to be released. And, you know, obviously he had nothing to do with it. He wasn't even there when all that was going down. So he could have left. There were other jobs out there that he could have taken where he would have made just as much money.
Right.
And he could have left. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, he stuck it out, and he's putting together a pretty good program.
And here's the thing. Look at what he did at Temple. You know, nobody disputed what he did at Temple, okay? He built it up. Never been a successful program. Have you seen the record since Al Golden has left Temple?
No, I haven't. Andrew, tell me.
I believe that Temple is winless this year. I don't think they've won a game. So he built them up to a team that went to a bowl game, probably the first bowl maybe they'd ever been to. And it took them, 3 years to get back to the point where they can't win any games. I mean, they are back to being terrible. That shows how he was able to elevate it, and they couldn't, you know, sustain that success that they had. He was able to do something nobody else had ever been able to do. So he definitely is a special, special coach.
Yeah. That said, though, yesterday's game was a very winnable game. And it is very, very frustrating how that game ended out. Because you look at the way the game started, and we drive right down the field, first drive of the game, and get a touchdown. You know, a nice, long, sustained kind of drive that you're used to seeing. I think it was like a 6 or 7 minute drive where we get a touchdown. And then what happens? They get the ball, and how many plays? What, two plays, and they score a touchdown?
Yeah.
Two plays, and they score a touchdown. And you're like, oh, crap. But at the same time, even though that happened, you're like, well, it's tied up. And history, if history serves, this year, our defense has done that in nearly every game so far, is we've given up early scores and then come back to kind of actually show up on defense later in the game. Well, we get the ball back and we score a field goal. And, I mean, you take the points whenever you can get them, but you're kind of thinking at that point that it might be a shootout. So, you know, it's not necessarily a victory. But then after that, something happens that absolutely favors Tech. We only took advantage of it once, and that was the turnovers. Because they get a turnover, Duke Johnson fumbles the ball. We go back and score on that next possession. But then after that, they would have several more turnovers. And that was the only time that we would capitalize the entire game. We scored that last touchdown in the first quarter. I believe it was the first quarter. I believe we scored 17 in the first quarter.
Yep.
And then after that, we didn't really do anything for the rest of the game on offense. And it was really frustrating. I don't know where to start with this, but like, what went wrong? Because the offense was looking really good. Let's start with the offense. The offense was looking really good early in the game. What happened? Why did they fall apart later in the game?
Here's what, you know, Paul Johnson said in the postgame. You had to do everything right. You had to play near perfect game to have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
you just don't have the talent. I mean, that's really what it is. You're either too young and your talent just isn't matured enough, or in some positions you just don't have the talent level to be able to compete with Miami. And I guess the question is are you okay with that? You've kind of settled into a spot. What have you done this year? You have done everything that you did last year. Nothing is different. You look at how last year, what did you do? You beat Duke, you beat North Carolina, you lost to Virginia Tech, you lost to Miami. So nothing is different. You haven't done anything different from last year. And so kind of, you have to ask the question, have you kind of settled into this mediocrity position? Are you to where the players don't really believe they can win the game?
Yeah. And that's a question that I can't really answer. Like, it's tough, because you could make the argument that the U is back, and that's the reason that we lost. But after watching that game, it was a very, very, very winnable game. There's no reason that we should... Now, a lot of the points that they scored at the end of the game, and frankly that we scored at the end of the game, were kind of in trash time and really didn't matter. Their last two touchdowns were in trash time, and our last touchdown was... I mean, we had our third string quarterback out there, so no telling how far they went down in the defensive depth chart for us in that drive. But I don't know, Andrew. It's hard to say if there is improvement from last year or not. It's certain areas I've seen improvement.
Well, I mean, statistically, you might say you can make you've made improvements or strides, but it hasn't transferred to wins and losses. And the problem I see is that you do that too long, and you get to a point where players don't believe they can win, and the coach comes out, and you can say the same thing over and over and over again, but if you don't see the result as a player, it's going to be hard to believe it. You know, you can believe it if you're winning, if you're able to take the principles and win the game, but if you don't win a game, you keep losing. When was the last time you won a close game? When was the last time you had a drive where you were down by a score late in the game, were able to come back and tie it or win it, and then you go on to win the game? I can think of a lot of times, the last two games in this season and several times last year, where you're kind of in the game late and then just weren't able to capitalize. You know, against Virginia Tech, what do? You get the ball, you don't score, give them back the ball with, 30 seconds to go, they just down it, it's over. Same way this past game, Vadley is in there, you're down. At that point, I believe it was 31-23 with roughly 7 minutes to go. And the same thing happens, aren't able to capitalize, you're down by a score, you've got to match that score for score, and you aren't able to. Yeah. So you can think of a lot of instances where you kind of crumbled at the end, and I'm not at all saying that you crumbled because of the coaching. I am saying that if you do that too often where you crumble at the end, it makes it harder for the players to believe they can win, and they get into a cycle where they lose, and then that's kind of where they sit.
I think part of the problem is with Vadley. When Vadley would come in last year, he would be like a change of pace guy. He would come in and the opposing defense wasn't really prepared for his change of skill set. It didn't mean that he was a, much superior quarterback to Tevin Washington at the time. He just threw something at them that they weren't necessarily prepared for. And he just threw a different skill set at them. Well, this year that Vadley is the starter, and he does have really good athletic abilities. He is really talented, but he's no longer that change of pace guy, and defenses are ready for him. And even though he is physically very talented, he is not matured as a quarterback enough to be able to make those snap decisions, especially late in games when the game is on the line. And I think that is part of the problem. And I think a lot of it is, myself included, we kind of viewed Vad as this savior that was going to come in and march down the field and score 25 touchdowns you know, his first year as a starter, just like that. But most quarterbacks out there, there are some very, very special cases, but usually first-year starting quarterbacks aren't necessarily like that. So I'm afraid that we set our expectations too high, too early on Vadley, and that is part of the problem.
So, I mean, so I don't want to put words in your mouth. Do you think that we're going to, I mean, do you see improvement around the corner?
I see improvement around the corner. Whether it happens this year or next year, I don't know. I think that Ted Roof is a good hire, and I think in the long run, it's going to pay off, and we're going to see results because of it. On the offense, I don't know. I mean, we've been pretty consistent the past few years on offense, and, you know, can we see improvement? I hope so, but I don't know. It's a really good question. I would like to see what would happen in a couple of years when Vad is a senior and he's been in this offense for a long time and he knows when to make those pitches and whatnot, but it's really tough to say. Like, I'm optimistic, but at the same time, are we going to go undefeated anytime soon? Probably not.
So are you comfortable with the position of you've gotten to the place where there's an obvious deficiency compared to Miami, Virginia Tech, Clemson, Georgia? I mean, you're not in the same ballpark. You just don't have the depth, and you don't have a lot of the size and the speed at some of those positions. So is that an acceptable position to be in? And I think that's the question that a lot of fans have to ask. Is that acceptable? And you look at it, is it an overarching problem? What is different right now from when Chan Gailey was head coach? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're trying to say.
Because Chan Gailey, his last year, he was booed out of the stadium when you lost to Virginia Tech. That same year, I believe we beat Clemson that year. We might have beaten Miami. I don't really know if that's true or not. I can't necessarily remember.
2007?
2007.
We did beat Miami in 2007.
Okay, so I mean, you lost to Boston College. You lost to Virginia Tech. You lost to Georgia. There's got to be another one in there, and I don't know what it is. But the point is that the big games against the teams that had some of these better players, there's just you just weren't on that same level. And so you're kind of at the same position. And I guess, you know, I don't like to just I don't want to just make a broad stroke here, and but it does look very similar in a lot of ways. And I guess, is that the coach's fault? Are we just not able to hire a coach who can do better than 7-5, 8-4? Because, I mean, that's what you are right now. You know, you obviously are not a bad team, but you're not on the same level as the teams that are upper echelon of the ACC. You're very firmly entrenched right in the middle. You know, you're very mediocre. You do some things good. You're going to be in the game, but you don't have enough to kind of get over the hump. You're not getting blown out. I mean, I don't look at this and I don't really ever. I mean, it might happen, but you're not going to be like Maryland and just get blown out 63-0. You know, you're going to be in the game, but you don't have enough firepower to where you can get over the hump and actually win it. You're just going to be playing and playing hard and get close. And I don't know where you are there, and I don't know what the answer is, because the same issue was with Chan Gailey. Chan Gailey he could win a few big games, but then you're also going to lose some of them too. You're not going to get above that mediocre area. You can never elevate. And if you go even farther back, George O'Leary, and I remember this, and I was thinking about this today. When George O'Leary was at Tech, he beat Georgia 3 years in a row, which, I mean, I was a young kid. I didn't realize how what a big of a deal that was. But every year you lost to Florida State, and the alumni and the fan base was just like, well, why can't you beat Florida State? You're not able to get over that hump. You can't beat Florida State. Well, Florida State was just like what Alabama is right now. They have more talent than everybody else did.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get above it. And the fan base really wants to be as good as, you know, you want to be as good as Florida State. I mean, that's what, basically, there is a quote that George O'Leary had at that point at one of these fan day kind of things. Somebody asked him a question. It might have been on one of his coaches' shows, and why can't we beat the better teams? And he said, look, Georgia Tech, you want to be Florida State on Saturday, but you want to be Harvard Monday to Friday. You can't have it both ways. It's not possible.
Yeah.
So is it an overarching problem with our university, or is it possible to, you know, get over that hump?
Yeah. I'm normally a glass half full kind of guy, and I really want to believe that we can get over that hump, and I really want to believe that we can get over it with Paul Johnson. But it has really been like we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a long time. And I can understand the fan base getting anxious, because a lot of things did point to this year kind of being maybe a special year. And the season's far from over. I mean, we've lost
absolutely.
Two games.
Absolutely.
And anything could happen. I mean, you look at last year, and I mean, we went 6-6 and made it the ACC championship game and almost won it. So, I mean, anything can happen, but it just gets to the point to where, like, you get into these must-win situations, and you look at the rest of the schedule, and you absolutely have to beat BYU. Even though they're out of conference, you can't drop three in a row.
Right.
You just can't. And then, luckily, after that, when we get back into the ACC schedule, we have three ACC teams that you can beat. You can beat Syracuse, you can beat Virginia, you can beat Pittsburgh. But you're also in a situation there where you absolutely have to win all three of those games.
Right. And, you know, I'm not really a big fan of making long-term predictions, but I want to make this one now just because I don't want to get caught up as the season goes on, and you'll understand why. I really think we beat BYU. And I really think you're going to string all these wins together. And the reason I say that is I think you're better than Syracuse. I think you're better than Virginia. And I think my issue is what's going to happen, I'm afraid, is that you win these games and then you get to Clemson. And at that point, you are, I believe you're 7-2 if you do win all these games, right?
You get your confidence back a little
bit. Yeah, so we're going to go through the exact same thing again.
Yeah.
Where you win these games, and people are going to be like, this is it. You know, Vad has turned the corner. You know, we're running the offense better. The defense is better. We're going to go in there and upset Clemson, and then you lose. And then the dam breaks again.
Yeah.
You know, and it all spills out again. And so I think that you have to understand maybe you're just not as good as these upper echelon teams. You're not a bad team, but at this point, you're not a great team either. You're very much, and this is what the problem of Paul Johnson's success early. And I think that if you look at Maryland, and this is something I always was fearful of in 2010, this is when I first thought, oh no, this might happen, but I didn't want to think it would, but I was afraid. Go back and look at Maryland under Ralph Regan. Won the ACC in his first year. He went, in his first 3 years, I think his record was like 30-5. Okay, they were really good. They ran the ball. They had a great quarterback, just great offensive powerhouse, and they looked great. And they looked like, man, they are going to be the team of the future. Ralph Regan is going to be there for a long time. Well, after that, it was very up and down. They never got more than 9 wins. I mean, it was always just they were 6-6, 8-5. Maybe 9 wins occasionally, but it was always in that area where the fans, they saw this early on, and so that's what their taste was wet for that success, and then they were never really ever to get there again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just afraid of that same kind of thing happening here, in that you had so much success early on, And since then, you haven't been able to build it up. And that's why I said this earlier. I'm just afraid that you get to this mediocrity and players, if that's what they're used to, it's hard to get that back up again. It really is hard to get back to that point. And unless you have a coaching change and you just have to start over. And you don't want to have to. You're not in a position where you can do that right now. Let's just be absolutely honest, okay? I'm not going to beat around the bush here and say, well, what if? You can't fire Paul Johnson. You owe him too much money.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't fire him.
We're still paying off Paul Hewitt, so.
Right. You fired him right now. You owe him $10 million. If you think that we have $10 million, we're not Texas. We're not Alabama. Okay? You don't have that kind of money to fire him. So this is the road that you're going down. You've got to hope that it works out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to see if you can figure out some way. But the question is, at Georgia Tech, are we capable of continued higher success? We want it. Our fan base wants it. We think we can get it. But are you really capable of it? Remember former athletic director...
Dave Brain
once said, an athletic director, I don't know why you would ever say this, but he did say Georgia Tech's not capable of winning 10 games every year.
Yeah.
I mean, was he right? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why he got fired is because he had
He retired.
That,
he did
well,
retire.
Yeah, well, everybody was ready for him to go. So, but him having that stance of, yeah, we're going to be mediocre all the time, get used to it. That's not something that your fan base wants to hear.
Right. And I think the big thing is you have to do something about the hill. You really do.
Yeah. And we'll get into that.
I have one question to ask you, Will. And I'm going to be honest with you that I'm baiting you a little bit, but here it goes. Okay. So if I told you, Will, I will give you a path right now where over a 5-year period, you'll beat Georgia twice, maybe three times, two or three times over 5 years, and you can win the ACC at least once over a course of 5 years.
Okay.
You're not going to get into any academic trouble. That's not going to be a problem. Would you take it?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure.
Okay. All right, well then...
I mean, am I selling my soul to do this, or...?
In a sense, yes, because my question is what about Bobby Petrino?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, that's the question. How much do you really care about winning? Does integrity matter anything at Tech, or are we just willing to take the lumps? Because, let's be honest, Bobby Petrino... If you call him after this season, he would come to Tech because he's at Western Kentucky. He wants a job. He likes to hop to a different job. He would come. He would win games. Everywhere he's went, he has won games. He won at Arkansas. Arkansas is not, it's not Alabama and it's not LSU. It's a little bit harder to recruit out there, but he won a lot of games at Arkansas. Is that?
I mean, I understand what you're saying. But Petrino is hated in Atlanta.
Right. And I'm totally with you, Will. And I asked that because I just am curious to a fan base, you know, at what lengths are you willing to go? You know, are you willing to sell your soul to win a few games? And that's just my simple question. And I totally agree with you. I could never see that happening.
Yeah. One other thing, we've talked way too much about this situation at Georgia Tech, but one other thing that I did want to call out, and then we'll move on. This will be 30 seconds. But we had some long snapper issues.
Yeah.
Who would have thought the theme of this year, our long snapper was out, and we had a Ray Finkel incident in Miami. I thought that, I don't know if you were watching the game on TV, but...
I was.
We had the laces in moment in Miami, which was kind of funny. But the long snapper, bad snap, missed an extra point. It ended up not being really that big of a deal since we lost by 15. But at the time, it would have tied the game up. So it was a big deal at the time, but
you need that long snapper. Putting a long snapper on scholarship is not a bad idea.
Yeah. And we had one. He just got hurt.
He just wasn't hurt. Yeah, he wasn't there. So, yeah, you absolutely missed him, and you're exactly right. Yeah, it is the theme, and, you know, we look like geniuses for putting him on scholarship, and then you really hate when you don't have him.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's move on. What's the next topic, Andrew?
Well, you know, I would think that we probably should talk about the best team in the ACC right now.
Oh, which one are you referring to? Because there's one that's ranked really high.
Oh no, I'm talking about the one that's gonna go to Death Valley and win. That would be the Noles of Florida State. Because yesterday, I don't know, did you watch any of this what we would call a thrashing?
I watched a little bit of it. It was one of those games that at the beginning of it I was like, you know what, this could be an interesting game. I mean, FSU was, you know, after the first quarter, FSU's up 7-0, and, you know, Maryland looks like that they could make a little bit of noise, and then, boy, was I wrong.
Yeah. I mean, let me just say, the offense at FSU, my goodness, Devonta Freeman, James Wilder, I mean, these running backs are phenomenal. And then when you combine that with one of the most accurate passers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Famous Jameis. It's incredible to watch. It's absolutely incredible to watch. And he's only a freshman.
Yeah. You got three years of him. You better take advantage of it.
Yeah, he's a red shirt, so unfortunately you might only have 2 years of him. But my goodness, yeah, your offense was absolutely clicking on all cylinders, and watching yesterday, I don't know how anybody's going to be able to beat this team. And, you know, I was pretty critical after the Boston College game because it looked like Florida State's defense was all over the map. Well, they definitely hunkered down, and they just shut down Maryland. Maryland, you know, undefeated, and I'd like to pick against them all season long, and they definitely were exposed as a pretender yesterday. You know, they just don't. I mean, they have some players, but when it comes to depth and, you know, the lines, they're just not. They're not on the same page.
Well, it didn't help that your beloved Knowles kind of cheap-shotted their starting quarterback. So
and I know that this is. I think that Maryland is going to have to deal with that at every stadium they go to this season, because there aren't going to be too many teams who are going to be happy to see them.
Yeah, that's true.
The coaches being like, listen, this team is trying to take $50 million away from us.
Yeah.
Just go out there and remember that.
Yeah.
I'm not crying too hard for Maryland tonight in their 63-0 loss. You know, that's
yeah,
my
that was an absolute beatdown. And, yeah, it's going to set up for a very... very interesting game when Florida State and Clemson square off. That should be a kind of game that gets, you know, College Game Day type exposure.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I will go back and say on that hit, it definitely was a late hit.
Yeah.
He definitely led with the helmet.
Yeah.
And my question to you is, you have an ACC official crew. The ACC officials know that Maryland is leaving the conference.
Oh, they're not. Conspiracy theory. No.
Listen, we gotta get these conspiracies on the air. The nuts who listen to us, they really like that.
Well, yeah, I don't think that had anything to do with Florida State not getting penalized as badly as they should have.
It was a bang bang play. So
bang bang, more like bang, bang.
You know, one bang hit him in the chest, one bang hits the ground. That kind of bang bang.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. I think that FSU has a lot to look forward to this season if they can stay composed. I mean, they still got some tough games left. They got Clemson, they got Miami, and they got Florida. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you've got two of those. I mean, Clemson is going to be at Clemson. Florida is at Florida. That part, you're kind of nervous about having to go on the road for those games, but they are winnable games. you know, you can win those games. Clemson is very good. Like, I'm not trying to discount Clemson is very good. But you can win the game. Like, it's not out of reach. You have enough athletes. You have a good game plan. You have enough offense. Even if Clemson scores every time, you should be able to match them score for score.
Yeah. Well, whoever wins that game, I think, has a very, very good chance of winning out the rest of the season and should be considered in the national championship conversation when that happens.
Right. So. And Will, that you bring up an interesting point there, because how many undefeateds do we have left at this point?
Yeah, there's a lot. And we'll just, you know, I'll just kind of name them off real quick. But the undefeateds that you have left, you have Alabama, Oregon, Clemson, Ohio State, Stanford, Florida State, Louisville, UCLA, Oklahoma, Miami, and going farther down the line, Baylor and Michigan.
And some of those have to play each other.
Michigan, some of those have to play each other. But, it, you know, at this point in the season, you're, you know, kind of getting pretty deep into it. You can kind of get a feel for what way things are going to go going forward. And usually it works its way out to where there's only one or two undefeateds. But this year, I'm not so sure about that. I think that there might be three or four undefeateds, and it's going to get nasty when it comes time to choose who goes to the national championship game.
Each of the conferences have undefeated teams at this point. So that's something that you haven't seen. A lot of conferences, you know, have not been this far in and still had undefeated. So the fact that you've got an undefeated in the Pac-12, you've got an undefeated in the Big Ten, you got a couple undefeateds in the Big Ten, you got a couple undefeateds in the Big 12, you got a couple undefeateds in the ACC. You got just one in the SEC. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's just one. I think Alabama's the only undefeated.
And then you got Louisville. So, I mean, each conference is representing by having a couple of undefeateds. So there are still a lot of teams out there, and all of them are not going to get beat, I don't think. I think you're going to end up – I mean, I was just looking at, before we started the show, the Ohio State schedule. I was looking at that, and I was like, my goodness – I don't know how they could lose a game, and I don't know. We've already talked about Louisville not losing a game. I don't think that Stanford or Oregon, one of those two, I think has to go undefeated. So you're gonna end up with several teams out there.
Oh yeah. And we talked about Louisville last time around. They're not gonna lose any more games. Florida State, Clemson, one of them could very easily not lose any games. Alabama could very easily not lose any games. Oregon or Stanford could be in that situation. So, yeah, you could very easily have four or five teams undefeated, and then you really wish you had that playoff right now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It'll be one of those things where for a long time there'll be a lot of questions, you know, who really was. And you just look at all of these teams. You look at Oregon. Oregon looks so much better than everybody else.
But they haven't really played anybody super challenging.
Sure.
Either.
I mean, but you look at the same thing. Alabama looks so much better. Like, all of these upper echelon teams look so much better. And so it's going to be a shame if somebody gets left out.
Yeah. Like Clemson or Florida State or any of those teams.
Right. Yeah. Oh, right. Absolutely. Clemson would be one. If they get left out, I would be very upset because they've played a tough schedule so far, and they will have had a pretty tough schedule to get in. And
I mean, think about it. They've got to beat two very good SEC teams along with, you know, they got to get through the ACC schedule unscathed, and that includes getting by Florida State and probably, you know, a ranked Virginia Tech or Miami in the ACC championship game when it's all over. So
absolutely.
Yeah. The only other game that we wanted to really mention before we get to our wrap-up was UGA at Tennessee. That was a game that UGA really should have taken care of business. Tennessee is not nearly as good as UGA. But Georgia had a lot of injury problems this entire game. They were already without you know, their best running back with Gurley, and of course they had lost Malcolm Mitchell, their best wide receiver, or one of their best wide receivers, in the game against Clemson. And in this game, they lost a lot more skilled players. They lost Keith Marshall, their top running back at the time. They lost Van Slyke and Bennett, two of their wide receivers. I mean, they were really, really kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. The running backs that they had running out there were two freshmen. One of them was Brendan Douglas, the decommit who was committed to Georgia Tech and decommitted at the last minute.
Now, Will, I do have a question. I don't follow a lot of these Georgia players quite as I just don't. I don't know. I live in Florida, Will.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So, are these players out for the season? I mean, what's going on? I mean,
I haven't really heard if how. I mean, they were all knee injuries and like leg injuries. So
that's not good.
Yeah, there's a chance that they could be pretty serious. So, yeah,
so are we saying? Are you saying that Gurley and Marshall are both?
I wouldn't say that. I think that Gurley is going to be okay. Marshall looked pretty bad, and so did Van Slyke. Looked like it was an ankle injury. I don't know. It's tough to say, but it really did hurt them at the end. But when, you know, I was watching the game, and I was watching it with my girlfriend, who's a very big Georgia Bulldog fan, and Tennessee scored a touchdown late in the game with less than 2 minutes to go in the game, and they put the ball into Murray's hands, and it's one of those situations we kind of talked about with Georgia Tech, where you get in those situations where you have to score at the end of the games, and we just right. haven't been able to do that. They got into that position, and I was just like, they have two timeouts. They're gonna score. They're gonna win this game.
Yeah, all you need is a field goal.
No. They needed a touchdown.
Oh, okay.
They needed a touchdown to tie. Okay. And they got all the way down the field, I mean, really quick, and it was a very similar situation as it was in the SEC championship game where they were right at the goal line and like they didn't have any timeouts and the clock was like winding down but they got it. They got it in with 5 seconds to go and went to overtime and got extremely lucky. I mean, you could call it whatever you want, but it was luck.
Now, Will. My sister was telling me about someone. She saw his Facebook, and he said that the spot where the fumble occurred was very close to where the Georgia players prayed in before the game. And he said, call it what you will, but I believe that the Lord has mysterious ways.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, well, it was a very bad decision on the Tennessee running back because it was a first down play. They were like first and
goal.
Like, no, I think they were like, it wasn't quite first and goal. I think they were on like the 12-yard line. And if he would have just like gone down, they would have been first and goal at about the 2. But instead he tries to stretch it out and he just lets go of the ball and you could tell after the replay he knew it because all of his teammates were kind of crowding up around him celebrating and he did not look excited at all. And on further review, he did drop the ball just inches short of the goal line, and it cost him the game because then Georgia came out. They ran a few plays. They didn't get a first down, but they kicked their field goal, and they won the game. So that's all it took.
Yeah. The interesting thing here is that next week against Missouri has surprised a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
including you, Will. I believe you were a naysayer for the Mizzou.
You know,
I think that you didn't really believe in the Mizzou, but I have always believed in the Mizzou. And so it's interesting that next week could be a big game in Athens.
Well, let's get to that. Let's get to the wrap-up. Let's get, you know.
Yes, I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, I know you have because you did really well this week. I had a 3-game lead going into this week.
It felt insurmountable. It really did.
It felt like it wasn't going to go down. But let's just get ourselves started. Ball State at Virginia. Ball State surprised the Cavaliers and won big at Virginia.
Yeah, I think many of the Virginia players didn't really even know, couldn't even tell you where Ball State was.
No, probably not.
I know I can't.
I know. Never will. I'm not going to look it up.
No, and here's the thing. I do know one thing, and that is that there is not a state called Ball.
No, it's not one of the 50. So, 50. Okay, anyway. So, we had that one wrong. Who would have thought that?
Big surprise.
The next one, Maryland at Florida State. We both picked Florida State, but we didn't think it was going to be this close.
Yeah, I didn't. So. I didn't think that Florida State's defense. I mean, they showed up. So it shows that they have the athletes, and when they want to play, they can.
Yeah. Next game is North Carolina at Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech just keep on winning. And they don't do it. They don't win big. They just win. What was the final score in that one?
27-17, I believe.
Yeah, so they won by 10 points. But, you know, they're not really showing off when they win. They just win.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe they're really good. It's so hard to tell. Because
I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, it's the thing with Virginia Tech every year. You look at them and you watch them and you're just like, they aren't any good.
Yeah.
You always watch them and you're just like, I don't see how they've won. This is terrible to
watch.
And
then they lose to James Madison and East Carolina.
The year they lost to James Madison, they strung out, I think, like 10 straight wins after that. So you just never know. You just never know. Somehow they always win. They just find a way.
And you look at their schedule going forward, and they got Miami left in the schedule, and I think they could beat Miami.
Yeah.
So with their defense, I think they could. Yeah. They could beat Miami. So
nothing would shock me. I'm never shocked. Now last year, you finally felt like after last year, you're like, well, it's finally caught up with them.
Yeah.
You know.
You thought so.
And they'd come back, and people always would pick Virginia Tech just because they've been good for so long. And unlike some teams like Miami or Florida State. For several years was not very good, but every year you'd see them in preseason top 25 because they've got to put it back together this year. It took Virginia Tech one bad year and everybody was like, well, they're done.
Yeah.
Because they don't play pretty football. I mean, everything is just, you know, gritty, you know, dirty, not really fun to watch, find a way to grind it out.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're getting back to the basics and doing it again. I just am surprised. Really, really am one of the many people who had written them off.
I did too. And you look at their next three games, Pittsburgh, Duke, and Boston College.
Oh, yeah, they can win those.
They can win all three of those. And then you have Miami. And if you win that, you have what? Maryland and Virginia. They could go 11-1, and their only loss would be to Alabama. Then all of a sudden, like, do you start talking about them? I don't know. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, if they beat Clemson or Florida State in the ACC championship game, which with their defense,
they could.
we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
But I think we both could agree that the only game left on that schedule that is a push is that Miami game.
Yeah,
they're going to be favored in every single one of those other games.
Yeah. The next game was Army at Boston College.
Did they actually finally play that game?
They did play this game. And Boston College won 48-27, so they took care of business. So, but we both picked Boston College for that one. The next one we had, again, totally wrong. North Carolina State at Wake Forest. We had also written off Wake Forest, but they find a way to beat NC State at home. So,
you know, Will, go back. I think you need to listen to the tape because I believe that I said Wake Forest is good for an upset every year. So,
it's true.
You know, I didn't think that they could beat North Carolina State, but Wake Forest is a very well-coached team, okay? They don't make mistakes. They don't beat themselves. They might not have the talent that the other teams have, but they're consistently able to just find ways to win. And I think that this year they started a lot of freshmen, and maybe they're just kind of starting to grow into playing. Looking at this one, I think they have a chance to at least make a bowl this year.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree with you. So next one, and we had both picked NC State on that one, so we were both wrong. Next one was Georgia Tech at Miami. We've talked about that enough. I picked Georgia Tech, so I was wrong. But Andrew, you know, whatever, picked Miami. So that
plus one for me.
I blame it on you, Andrew. I blame it on you.
Well, if I only had the power. I mean, I wish I did.
Yep. The next game was Clemson at Syracuse. This game was interesting. Okay, so this was Syracuse's very first ACC game. I don't know if you knew that, Andrew.
Yeah, welcome to the ACC.
Welcome to the ACC. And what was interesting, I have a couple of friends that are Clemson fans, and they were following all the forums and reading all about it. Syracuse was talking a lot of trash going into
really?
This game. Yes, they really were. And one of the things that they kept saying was that that Clemson better get ready to play in the Carrier Dome because they're not ready for the temperature and the humidity that is in the dome because there is no air conditioning.
There's no air conditioner. Yeah,
so
that's true.
So they had the audacity to say that Clemson wasn't going to be ready for the heat and the humidity that would be in the dome. And then I'm looking at where Clemson is on a map, and they're pretty far south, and I'm pretty sure heat and humidity are a thing in the south.
Right.
So I don't really understand that. Now, what was interesting about the game was Clemson, the game was never really in doubt. They won 49-14. They had it kind of wrapped up early. But what was interesting is late in the game, Clemson went for it on fourth down and got it. And the coach for Syracuse,
Scott Schaefer, I believe,
he was visibly upset and, from what I understand, yelled explicative you Dabo several times over and over and over, and it didn't seem to stop. So I don't think that Syracuse really likes Clemson all that much.
Well, you know, welcome to the ACC, Syracuse. I don't know what you expected, and I don't, you know, I didn't, here's the thing. I know that you didn't realize that we would be ready for Big East football.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do play some football here in the ACC, and I don't know what you thought you were getting into and how you felt like you at Syracuse, with your rich tradition in football, were going to be so much better than Clemson.
Yeah. So it was just a really interesting game, and the fact that they're talking trash was really funny. But, so Clemson takes care of business. We both.
And here's the other thing, Will. I'm sure for a New Yorker, the heat and humidity of the Carrier Dome is unbearable.
It's brutal.
But to those of us in South Carolina and Georgia and Florida, Alabama, you know, we have that every day. Not just in the Carrier Dome.
Yeah.
So we have that
we
in real
that.
Life.
That's our life.
We live that, yeah. You can walk outside. Well, guess what? We can't.
No. Oh, goodness. Okay, that's it with the ACC. Let's go through the SEC really quickly. Georgia State at Alabama. Georgia State scored, so good for them. You know,
oh gosh!
But I don't. The game's not even really worth talking about. It's kind of a joke of a game, but Alabama takes care of business.
Well, did Georgia State sell out their allotment? That's my question.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not.
They might have had to eat some of those tickets.
Probably. Next game was Georgia at Tennessee. We've talked about that game already. Georgia wins, but it's a close one by a field goal in overtime. But we both picked that one. Next game, this is another one that I got wrong. Ole Miss at Auburn. I picked Ole Miss unwisely so.
It's hard to pick against a team at home in the Plains, Will. You got to know that.
I know.
Here's the thing. Auburn, they're going to win some games this year. They kind of went under the radar because of last year, but they have good players, okay? They have a lot of good players. And they've got a coach who runs a system, and the system works. So I think that this could be a big year for Auburn. I mean, I mean, they're not going to win the national title. They're not going to win the SEC. But they are, you know, laying the groundwork to be very competitive again. And I think that's good for Auburn. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to be a good team to watch. You know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I mean, this will be the first time in a few years where I really do believe the Auburn-Alabama game will be fun to watch.
It'll be interesting.
Which is good. Yeah, which is good.
Yeah, it's been a while since the Iron Bowl was interesting.
Yeah, and it's good for the Iron Bowl. It's good for the sport. You want to have those games be competitive. And I think that this year that Auburn is going to be able to, you know, actually compete in that game. So that's good.
Yeah. Next game on the list is Arkansas at Florida. Florida beats Arkansas pretty easily. Arkansas just isn't really that good.
No, here's the thing. Brett Bielema, he thought, hey, I was at Wisconsin, and I know Big Ten football, so I can just come to the SEC, and I can show them how it's done. Well, I think you might have got in a little bit over your head.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I don't, you know, yeah, you're right. I don't think Arkansas is really that good, and, you know, hog suey all day, but I don't think they're great this year.
Yeah. Next one is LSU at Mississippi State. LSU, not really close. Yeah, not really close.
Finals, and here, you know, we're 50, starting to get into
59-26 in this one.
Yeah, we're starting to get into the point where, you know, you're seeing some seats heat up a little bit. You know, I'm talking about coaches' seats as we talk about these hot seats. Dan Mullen, I hate to say it, his seat might start getting a little bit toasty.
Yeah.
You know, that once again, product of success. He goes in his second year, I believe they won 9 games, and it's just been a little steady decline since then. I think he's a good coach, you know, but Sylvester Croom had done a great job of recruiting and bringing in some good quality players, and I just don't know that he has been able to continue that. You know, I'm just not sure, and I think that in Starkville, they're going to start, as Ole Miss is, I believe, getting better, Mississippi State, I don't think, is going to want to get left behind. So I really think that Dan Mullen needs to win some games to keep his job.
Yeah, I agree. Next game, I had this one wrong, and I don't know what I was thinking, but Missouri beats Vanderbilt 51-28. Vandy falls to 0-3 in the conference, and I don't know if Vandy wins a conference game. I don't think they're going to win any of the next three, as they got Georgia, Texas A&M, and Florida coming up.
The interesting thing,
Vandy might be back to where they started a couple years ago.
I want to talk about the fact that Will was very confident that a team in Vanderbilt that already, I believe, you said they'd already lost 2 conference games, right?
Look, the conference games that they lost were pretty close. They almost beat Ole Miss, and they gave South Carolina a scare. I thought they could take care of Missouri.
Of an unbeaten Missouri team.
Oh, well, who had Missouri beaten? Nobody?
Who is Virginia? Sorry, edit that out. Who is Vanderbilt, you know?
Nobody.
So James Franklin can do all the cartwheels coming out of the locker room that he wants.
Look, he just needs to take more helicopters to recruiting visits. That's all he needs to do.
I think he might be on track. Right. I think he might be taking a helicopter right out of Nashville at the end of the season to another job.
Possibly. Last game in the list, Kentucky at South Carolina. Yeah. It was a game. Like, they played.
Kentucky's terrible. It was actually terrible.
I neglected to do my research. This was a closer game than I thought.
It was. It was 35-28.
A lot of that was late scores by Kentucky.
And interestingly, Jadeveon Clowney did not play in the game. So, you know, maybe we're getting to the point where he's trying to protect his draft stock. I don't know. But yeah, he didn't play. And apparently Steve Spurrier was not exactly thrilled by that.
Was Spurrier sober, or?
I don't know. You know, here's the thing. You know, Steve Spurrier, he told the media. I mean, does he drink a couple beers after a game? Maybe. Is he gonna get intoxicated after a game? No. You know. So there you go.
There you go.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, I'm sure you can find the video on the internet, because the internet saves those kinds of things. Even if the university tries to take a video off their website, somebody's going to have it.
Yep, definitely. Okay, so that does it for the picks this week. Andrew, you went 12-2. I went 9-5. My three-game lead has dissolved, and now we are all knotted up 6 weeks into the schedule, 86-17.
It's a new ball game.
It's a brand new ball game. So congratulations. Good job.
It's okay. So the thing is, Will, you know, I might start off slow, but, you know, I'm just trying to, it's like the tortoise and the hare, yeah. You know, I'm just trying to endurance, you know, I'm just going to outlast, you know?
Yep. Well, I've learned my lesson this week, and I'll come back strong next week, so just be ready. And what that means is that I'm just going to make whatever pick that you make for the entire rest of the season, and sneak a different one in at the end. And
so you're going to cheat.
Yeah, I'm planning on cheating, yeah.
Well, there's only two. You win them for real, or you cheat. There's only two options, yeah. Or you lose. I guess there's three options.
Three options. Well, there's four. You can cheat and still lose.
Well, that's true. But what's the fun in that?
There's no fun.
That's what Miami did with Nevin Shapiro.
Yeah, they cheated and didn't.
They
win. They still lost. But anyway, that's a podcast. I'm glad that you listened. Again, this is the Fourth and Short podcast at fourthandshort.com. You can reach us at I said that all wrong, didn't I? This is fourthandshort.com. Our email address is fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com. My name is Will Patton.
I'm Andrew Brown.
Thanks for listening. Listen to us next time.